It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, you would be with us. God, I pray, God, you would just decrease me, oh God. May you increase, Father God. Have your way in this message, Father God. Open hearts tonight, oh God. Open eyes tonight, Father God. Steady this vessel, Father God. Steady this ship, Father God. Sail it, Father God. Do what you may on tonight, Father God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come into this pulpit right now and let me step back. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord God. We want you here tonight, Father God, and I can't do this without you, God. God, be with us tonight, Father God, from start to finish, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. The book of 1 John is written by none other than the Apostle John. And this would be the same John who wrote one of the Gospels in the New Testament, which is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is distinct from the other three Gospels, from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These three Gospels, they have similar styles and content, and those are called the Synoptic Gospels. And they call the Synoptic Gospels because it's a synopsis of the life of Christ. That word synopsis, y'all, that means just a brief summary, a general survey of something. But the Gospel of John, it has great information on the person of Christ and also the meaning of faith. The Gospel of John, y'all, is the only gospel which mentions the disciple whom Jesus loved. You're going to find that in John chapter 13, verse 23. Peter, James, and John, they were the three disciples who were close to Jesus. And John was the closest. He was almost like a best friend of Jesus. Jesus entrusted John with the care of his mother. Y'all remember that? Gave John the vision, Transfiguration, he saw it. He allowed John to witness all the miracles and later gave John the book of Revelation. He was a disciple, y'all, leaning on Jesus when Jesus said, one of y'all will betray me. And Peter tapped John and said, man, ask him who he's talking about. John watched Jesus die on the cross, y'all. He saw Jesus alive 3 days later. John was an eyewitness of just about everything concerning the testimony of Jesus being the Messiah. John, he saw it all. He was eyewitness to it all. There's something about an eyewitness. You can't take what they have already seen. You can't take that away from them. You can't make them erase it. There's no delete button because they was present when it went down. You know when you've seen a car accident or you see something go down in a store, you see something go down in your neighborhood. When you seen it, you saw it, and that's what happened. And can't nobody tell you nothing different. And can't nobody tell John anything different. Like when they try to say, oh, Jesus didn't die on the cross. He just passed out. And now they got a theory for that. They call that the swoon theory. Or the swoon hypothesis. Now already, they putting out that word theory. That ain't no fact, it's just a theory. You're just throwing stuff out there. It's the idea that Jesus merely fell unconscious and was later revived in the tomb in the same mortal body. Another theory they got out there is that Jesus deliberately faked his death using drugs provided by the physician Luke to appear as a spiritual Messiah. Now you can find that on Wikipedia. The swoon theory.
Let me tell you what John would tell them people. Nope. Nope. He's going to say, I watched them put the nails in his hands. I watched them put the nails in his feet. I watched them raise him up. I watched them bleed out. I could hear his breathing becoming weaker and weaker. I heard him speak to me while on the cross and tell me, John, behold your mother. Mama, behold your son. I watched him say, Taleo, it's finished. John was there, man. He saw the Roman soldier pierce the Lord in his side to make sure he was dead. And he saw the water and the blood come out. John is eyewitness. You can't tell him nothing, man. He saw it all. John, at the time, y'all, of writing this first epistle of John, he's a bit older, you know? They done traveled and preaching the gospel. But he knows all that went down. He never going to forget it. He's not that old, though, because later on, when he does get of age, he becomes a prisoner on the island of Patmos. And that's where he writes the book of Revelation. Jesus gives him that revelation. Now, these letters, which are three, they were written not to a specific church. Like when he wrote to the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Corinthians. These letters John writes, they were more like circular letters. They were sent to various churches in the area. These letters were written, y'all, to encourage the church in their faithfulness to the Lord. And you can see an example of this in 1 John chapter 1, at the gate. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. You see, he's saying, I was there, I saw it all, man. This is what he's trying to let us know. He also says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We saw it, we heard it, and we declare it unto you, the gospel. And that you also may have fellowship with us. We brothers now. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. These letters also were written by John, y'all, to strengthen them against deceivers. Y'all know they got deceivers out there. You can see an example of that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 19. He says, little children, it is the last time. What he's saying is, it's the last days, bro. And I know we could tell. It is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We know it's the last days. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They got a lot of people claiming to be Christian out there, y'all. There's a lot of religions claiming to be Christian, claiming to believe in the Messiah, claiming to believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to expose one tonight, and you know who I'm talking about. Well, you don't know yet. I ain't said it yet, huh? Well, check this, y'all. In the preparation for studying for the message, there's a process that a pastor has taught us when getting in the Word and preparing the message. One of the things is, you know, don't try to find a subject matter to talk about. You know, really pray and seek the Lord. Let the Lord drop a scripture and then study that scripture. Look at the commentary of that scripture. Read the scriptures above and below it. You know what I'm saying? And there's another part of it where you go ahead and you listen to other pastors that have preached on that particular scripture. And John MacArthur, man, I looked him up, and he had a sermon on this scripture that we're in. And out the gate, man, he just started blasting the Jehovah's Witness. And, I mean, he was going hard, man. And I was like, man, why is he going so hard like that? I mean, I understand they did not, you know, but he was going really hard. But then he said in this message, he said, go look for yourself. So I did. And we're going to go look together. It's going to be a little interactive message. Brother Brent, can you go to jw.org? Yeah. Yeah, that's the website. That's the website. Frequently asked questions. If you scroll down some more. Yeah, right there. Stop right there. What do Jehovah Witnesses believe? Go ahead and click right there. Let's find out what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. All right? Here we go. What do Jehovah Witnesses believe concerning God? They say on their website. They're not hiding it, y'all. We worship the one true. That sound good. The one true almighty God. That sound good, right? The creator. That sounds good too. Whose name is Jehovah. That sound good. That sound like you too, like y'all with us. He is the God of Abraham. Yeah. He's the God of Moses and the God of Jesus. Did y'all catch it? If y'all didn't catch him, I'm going to do it again. He is the God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. See, if you don't know your Bible, you could slip and fall in it, man. But they're implying something right there. Do you see what they're implying? They're implying that Jesus is just a man. Oh, nah. No. And last time I checked, it said it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how the scripture talk about it. Now, there is the God of Moses too. Yeah, same God. But the God of Jesus? No. What are some scriptures that could knock that out at the park? Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus is God. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. John 1:1-3 and 14, y'all, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God. I want you to get it real good and real clear so that nobody could try to play y'all. Now check this, the problem of how they presented that. John 5:23, it says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which had sent him. Yeah. All right. So what they have done, they come with a nice introduction. Yeah, we worship the one true God. We worship the Almighty God, the Creator, whose name is Jehovah. But then you put Jesus as though he's just a man. So you're not even honoring the Son, but you make it look like you're honoring the Father. But if you're not honoring the Son, you ain't even honoring the Father. They ain't gonna come play at y'all door and play y'all no more, no. You know, because they could come to your door and make you think that we the same. We believe the same thing. We don't believe the same thing. No. What do Jehovah Witnesses believe concerning the Bible? They say on their website, we recognize that parts of the Bible are written in figurative and symbolic language and are not to be understood literally. Yeah. Then they use a scripture to back it up, but They use 2 Timothy 3:16 that says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay. The scripture says all scripture is by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable. That means all scripture is valuable. Is all scripture is valuable for doctrine. All scripture is valuable for reproof. All scripture is valuable for correction. All scripture is valuable for instruction in righteousness. Not to be understood literally. But, you know, Pastor taught us, y'all, to read the scriptures above and below. And if a person were just to just look at 2 Timothy and go a little bit above, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Y'all, there are so many people. Y'all know some Jehovah Witnesses. Y'all got some in your family. All right. A lot of people is following this, man. And they make you think that we believe in the same thing. They have Jesus on their website. They have salvation on their website. But if you don't get that Jesus is God and he's just a man, then he can't be the Savior. He has to be God. Because if he's just a man, then he's just like us. That means he couldn't take the bullet for us. What do Jehovah's Witnesses believe concerning Jesus? And they are actually confirming what they believe about God. All right? At the beginning. They say on their website, we have learned from the Bible that Jesus is not Almighty God. And that there is no scriptural basis for the Trinity doctrine. Do y'all remember when the Pharisees was, they ripped their clothes because Jesus said that he was the Father, that he was God. They wanted to rip their clothes. That's how I felt at my computer desk. When they said that Jesus is not God, and I know better, I know that Jesus is God. Come on now. Mm-mm. And y'all, the scripture that they use to say that Jesus is not Almighty God, John 14:28, they take the scripture, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And they take that to think that Jesus is not God because of this statement right here. Again, Pastor has taught us to read the scripture in context. What's going on right here, the full context of that text, is about Jesus sending the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He's saying, I'm going to leave. I'm going to send the Comforter. And then when I tell you that, you're going to remember that I told you that. All right? This is the thing, y'all. People kind of get it confused, and Paul, you had talked about that, and that was great, man, about how people think that the Father and the Son, they think that the relationship is just like us, like Duck and his son, like they, you know what I'm saying? The Father and the Son. This is different. Is this different? Because anytime somebody comes into this dimension, we have to be born. You got a mother and you got a father. So for the men, you are somebody's son. You're somebody's son. Somebody is your father. All right? When God stepped in, the scripture says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not just going to just come down here if you're going to come die for us. So he's going to put on flesh. So when he puts on flesh, simply, is Jesus is God in person. God is simple, yeah. And he's complex. Men, we simple. Women are complex. It's a little bit, you know what I'm saying? God, you know, he's sovereign, yeah. He's easy to understand, but you're not going to understand all of them, though. Jesus is God in person. Now, here they say that there's no scriptural basis for the Trinity doctrine. Let's knock it out of park with the scripture. Here we go. 1 John chapter 5, the chapter that we're in right now. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's what the scriptures say. John was warning us about deceivers, y'all. And what they are operating in, John is warning the church about, is that Antichrist spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. If you go down to verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. JW.org, Jehovah Witness, they seducing people, y'all. And they seducing people to destruction. I mean, there's a lot of people that's going in with it, man. Because they don't know the word, they get, you know what I'm saying? They'll fall for it. We're not going to fall for it, though. We know the truth. Give God some glory. Yeah, we're talking about the reason why John wrote these letters. These letters were written by John to express to the church to hold fast to the doctrine of Christ and to do that by their love for God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, y'all know it, the lust of the eyes, y'all know it, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world pass it away. Can you see this world passing away? Can you see it? You see it on the news, bro. You see it in the media. You see it with the music. You see it in our community. You see it in nations. It's passing away, man. It's time to be sick and tired of this world, of the same old roundabout thing. You know what I'm saying? John also writes in the letter at verse 21, in that chapter, in chapter 2, he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Philadelphians, y'all know the truth. Y'all know the truth. There's not many churches, y'all, I'm telling y'all, that know the truth like y'all know the truth. Y'all, we know not. We know Jesus is our Savior. And we know who we are as a people. Y'all know the truth. John is writing his letter to you. When we get to chapter 4 of 1 John, John begins to bring about the word love. The chapter, y'all, is flooded with the word love. Verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's why we come here, because we know there's love in this place, man. You know what I'm saying? And look, the brothers, man, is love, man. It's real. They got some real men up in here, man, that love the Lord, man. Love on one another, you know what I'm saying? It's real. It's good. And that's great. And our women. Y'all remember, I don't know if y'all, some of y'all might have been here last time I talked about love. I'm not going to talk about love again tonight, no. I'm gonna, just a little bit. Just want to remind y'all, man. Women. That's your sister, yeah. Let me come down here. That's your sister, man. Love your sister, man. If anybody that should relate to one another, man, it should be y'all women. Y'all should, you know what I'm saying? Y'all go through the same stuff, man. Y'all think the same. I mean, It's all for us men to understand, y'all, but your sister gonna understand you. Man, love each other, man. Let me remind it again, y'all. Y'all are crystals. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Y'all are crystals, man. Y'all fine china, man. Deal with one another gently. And look, whatever sister you got to art with, just let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. I mean, there's no point in holding on to y'all. Time is just too short to be mad about some stuff that it really... Just let it go, man. Just let it go. Love. Because look, I'm glad that the men that we tight, you know, I want the women to be tight too, man. Y'all be tight, man. Y'all be tight. All right, it'll be all right. All right. Y'all look, love is the evidence of salvation. All right? So if you got a problem with loving, just check your salvation. Lord, help me out, Lord. Fix me up. All right, y'all, look. Let's get back to the actual focus text. That was just an introduction. All right. Y'all ready? All right. Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, we got to roll now. All right. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We're going to have 3 points tonight, y'all. Our first point is going to be the record. Somebody say the record. Point number two is going to be hath life, or have life. And number three is going to be a liar. Somebody say a liar. All right, let's begin. Point number one, the record. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Saints of God, those who do not believe God has made God to be a liar. They believe God is a liar because they do not believe the record that God gave of his Son. Well, what is this record? Verse 11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The Bible says, y'all, the Word, the Logos, that was made flesh and dwelt among us. If they do not believe the record, the Word, the Logos, they do not believe Jesus. When Jesus is the very Word of God breathing and living and dwelling among us. Y'all, when we reject God's Son Jesus, we are telling God that he is a liar. We are saying that Bible, that so-called record, this so-called holy book, we say that it's a lie. The world is trying to tell you that it's a lie. Saints, what you must understand and know, and but most importantly, believe, is that that Bible was written by God. I need you to know it. But after you know it, I need you to believe it. Because we can know a lot of stuff. But God said we got to have faith in it, though. They could put all kind of, give you all kind of proof, and that's great. Then after that, believe. We've talked about the scripture already, about 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, y'all. The Bible, y'all, is actually God speaking. All right? Almost 2,000 times, the Bible declares that God is speaking. It's either going to be in the text or it's going to be by Jesus Christ himself. Who is God? We confirmed that already. Phrases like you'll hear, thus says the Lord, or God said, or Jesus said, If you take your Bible right now, flip it over to the front, to the cover, you're going to see it's going to say Holy Bible. All right? That word holy in the Hebrew is Kadesh. Somebody say Kadesh. Holy means to be set apart, to be consecrated. Consecrated means to make or declare sacred, observe, to show oneself sacred or majestic, to be honored, to regard, to devote. We're talking about holy, y'all. Isaiah 6, 2, 3. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two who covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Y'all, there's no other place in the Bible where you're going to see the attributes of God give something three times like that. Holy, holy, holy. You're not going to hear the Bible talk about God being merciful, merciful, merciful. Or gracious, gracious, gracious. Or loving, loving, loving. Nah. He's holy, holy, holy. And if he is holy and he wrote this Bible is holy. It's not the cover of the book that is holy, y'all. It's not the pages itself, which were made from the very trees that God created, is not holy. It's not the ink that was used on the printing machine that is holy. But what is holy is the text. When it is read from any of his beautiful creations, which were made by him for him, a little lower than the angels, the Bible, the Holy Bible, becomes holy because it is the Ruah of God, the holy breath of God. People try to criticize the Bible. Y'all know it. Oh, it was written by man. And it's another one now. Oh, it was written by the white man. Well, since we know now, explain to me, why would the white man write the Bible and write in the pic that Jesus was black? No, the white man didn't write the Bible, and man didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. Or now they say all the information is not accurate, because when it's passed down, the information, it gets messed up. If I told you or something and I told you to pass it down, by the time I got over here, it'll be a total different thing. Yeah, that happened with man. It don't happen with God, though. God keep it. He said, my word will not return back void. The Bible not accurate. Y'all, this Bible is more accurate than NASA. And I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let you finish it, Pastor. They say, oh, it's just a bunch of fables and it's just a bunch of myths. It's just a bunch of stories. It ain't real. That's what this world wants you to believe. But I'm going to tell you what God says about his very own word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word move in the Greek is Pharaoh. Somebody say Pharaoh. That means of the mind, to be moved inwardly, prompted, produce, bring forth, to lead, to conduct. Y'all, when I type this sermon, I use the keyboard. I type the sermon on the keyboard. The keyboard put the words onto the computer screen. All right? Now, the keyboard is not the author of the sermon that I typed. I typed the sermon. I pressed on the keyboard. So the same when he did with these holy men of God. He pressed upon them. He typed them. He controlled them. And he wrote this thing. That makes sense? God wrote the Bible. Let me give you some reasons why men did not write the Bible. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible shows mankind that we all sinners. The Bible shows us our iniquity, our depravity, that our hearts, y'all, you know it, deceitfully and desperately wicked. That's what the Bible does to man. That's why man could not have written it. Because man, we think we good. And anytime we something is shown to us that we're not good, it ain't gonna come from us. Because there's evil in us, man. We were shaping in iniquity. What does the Bible convict mankind of? Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Y'all know it. Which are these? Adultery. You stepping out your marriage? Are you somebody that slept with somebody that was married? Adultery. Fornication. You're not married and you're doing stuff that belongs to married folk. Uncleanness. You're not fornicating, but you're getting real close. You're doing everything else but uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. That go down a lot out here in South Louisiana. Witchcraft. Oh, yeah, that too. Hatred. Yep. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Man ain't wrote this here, man. Let's add to that though. Lying, greed, pride, homosexuality. I'm going to bring drunkenness back again because we got to say drugs, prescription drugs, legal, illegal, sexual immorality, pornography, impurity, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Man ain't wrote this. God wrote this. Y'all, somebody wrote this about the Bible. I don't know who he is. But Lord, you know who he is. But it's awesome. It says this. I read the Bible, but the Bible reads me. I go through the Bible, but the Bible also goes through me. I have gone cover to cover in the Bible, but the Bible uncovers me. The Bible gets to the heart of the matter, and the matter gets to my heart. Let me say that one again. The Bible gets to the heart of the issue, and the issue gets to my heart. That's what that Bible do. Y'all know it. Y'all know your Bible. It convict. It encourage. It renews our strength. John in this letter wants to remind you why you believe what you believe. This is what John was doing. He was encouraging the church in their faith in Christ. You must be planted, y'all. Steadfast. Anchored to Jesus Christ. The word of God that became flesh. Hold on to it. Never let it go. Like David said, thy rod, thy staff, it comfort me. Well, God has given you a rod and the staff. The rod is the word. The staff is the Holy Spirit who's going to lead you in all truth. Stay anchored in this, man. Point number two, hath life. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. The Matthew Henry commentary states that He that believes on the Son of God has an outward evidence of their belief. John chapter 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Can you see in your life that it has passed from death to life? A BC and an AD. Has a change happened? Or is it just business as usual? You just come to be entertained. You like how it feel around here. You like what's going on around here. But ain't no change really taking place. From death to life, y'all. What about in your family? Can your family see that you've gone from death to life? Can they see that you have changed? Can they see that you're talking about church? You always want to go to church, and can they see that? Can they see it? They should be able to. They should be able to say, "What's wrong with you? Why are you always talking about that? Stop inviting me, please." Something. They should say something happened to her. Something happened to him. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I like it too much, but they're just different. What about with your spouse? Can they see that you have gone from death to life? Where your boat was outside of Christ and now your boat in? You know what I'm saying? Or maybe one of y'all got in and the other one's still out. But can that other one see that you're different? And different for the better? And you're not beating them with the scripture, but you're walking this thing out. They may not be with you yet, but they could see that you're different. You see a perspective of life differently than you used to. What about the children? Can your children see that you're different? Can they see? Can they tell? Oh, like, no, my mama's just the same. She ain't really. She's still playing a card game. They still go to the trail ride. They ain't nothing really different. She sure be at church on Sunday, though. The TV ain't really changed. We're watching the same stuff. Ain't nothing really changed. The music's still the same. It's still 95.5. Oh, yeah, I said it. Yeah. Come on, man. Death to life. Parents, have you, as the child, can your parents see that you're different? You know what I'm saying? Can they say, you know what? I see in their life, they was like this, and now they're like that. It went from death to life. Can your parents be able to testify that something happened to you? Continuing, y'all, from death to life. What about your job situation? You went from no job, and you got a job after you got Christ. You went from no job to a job to a raise. You went from no job to a job to a raise to a promotion. Come on. Went from no job to a job, a raise, a promotion, a career. Death to life. And what about your relationship with the church? Has that gone from death to life? Where at the beginning, before Christ, he was like, man, all them churches, they all about money. Them pastors all about women and money. I'm not going to nobody's church. And then you get saved. And then you're like, you know what? Not all these pastors are messed up. They got some real pastors out there. Not all of them all about money. They really actually love people. I think I'm going to come back on next Sunday. You go back next Sunday, then you come back, I'm going to check out a Tuesday. And then you check out a Tuesday, and you're like, man, it's real. There's love around here, man. It was just like Sunday. Then you come on Thursday prayer. Let me see what all this school of prayer is all about. And you get to learn how to pray. Then you learn how to pray. And then every now and then, whenever you get a day off, you come check out noonday prayer. You see what's going on, how it is. You're like, man, this is good. Then you say, you know what? I'm going to become a member. Then you become a member. All right? I'm talking about from death to life. You become a member. Then you say, you know what? I'm going to go get baptized. You're taking it serious. Yeah. Because you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you. You went from death to life. And your soul. Can you see that your soul is now going from dead to life? Where your soul, BC, his destination was hell. But now you get Christ. And now your soul is heaven bound. And then now that your soul is heaven bound, your soul is prospering. And now that you went from being hell bound to heaven bound, your soul is prospering. And then the health is prospering. And things around you is prospering. From death to life, y'all. Go to our third point. Eliah. Eliah. When we reject God's son, Jesus Christ, we reject the record of him and say that God, you a liar. Y'all, my wife, she has a pet peeve. It's about me. It's something that I do. If I say something one day, and then some days pass, and then she say, "Remember when you said?" And I'd be like, "I never said that." And she'd be like, "You calling me a liar?" And then I'd be like, "Oh, no, I'm not calling you a liar. I just didn't say that." "Oh, but you're calling me a liar, though." "Like, no, babe, I'm not calling you a liar. I just didn't say that. I know what you said, and that's what you said, so now you're calling me a liar." What's going on is that she witnessed something that happened. She heard it was said. And because I'm saying something otherwise, well, I'm saying that I'm telling her she's a liar. Though I didn't say it out of my mouth, is what's being implied. When we reject God's son, when we say no, we tell God, you lie. You lie. You lie. It's being implied when we say no, when we reject the son. When he knows what he did, he know what he did. But you say, "No, God, you ain't do that." How much more God? How much more the one who created all things? The earth is his footstool. All right? The heavens declare his glory. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. How does he feel when we call him a liar? When we reject his son, Jesus Christ. We reject the record, the book. What we are saying, y'all, is that we was present when you made the foundations of the earth. We were there, and God, you didn't do it. We say, "God, you didn't form us from the dirt of the ground. It was a big bang. And our ancestors are fish." We say, "God, this book is just a bunch of stories and fables." We say there wasn't a Garden of Eden. There wasn't a flood that covered the earth and you saved a man named Noah and his family with two of every species. God, that's just a fairy tale. We say Abraham wasn't a father of many nations. We say Jacob never had 12 sons to become the 12 tribes of Israel. We say Moses never freed nobody from Egypt, never saw a burning bush, never split the Red Sea, never got the Ten Commandments. God, you lie. We say David never slew Goliath, never had a son named Solomon. And Solomon never received the most wisdom in the history of all mankind under Jesus. Oh, and speaking of Jesus, God, you lie. When we reject God's son and the record of him, we call God a liar. We say, "God, ain't no Jesus was born from a virgin." We say Jesus never was about the Father's business. When you said you was in a synagogue and Mary and Joseph couldn't find him. We say the Holy Spirit never descended upon Jesus like a dove, and that your voice, God, never came from above. That was not you, God. You lie. We say Jesus was never tempted of Satan in the wilderness while fasting 40 days. We say Jesus never rounded up and gathered the 12 apostles. We say Jesus never preached no Sermon on the Mount. We say he never gave the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We say, ain't no Jesus made the blind see and the lame walk. We say he never cast no demons out or commanded them to go into the swine. Oh, wait, maybe you did do that because you did it in the power of Satan. Beelzebub, Lord of the flies, God, you lie. We say you never rode into Jerusalem on a colt with shouts of praise, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We say you never had no last supper with your 12 group before you went to the cross. When we reject God's son and the record of him, we call God a liar. We say Jesus wasn't betrayed with a kiss. We say he wasn't led away like a sheep to the slaughter. We say he wasn't put a bag over his head while being tied up and strike him in the face. And they say, prophesy, who hit you? We say he wasn't taken before Pilate, whose own wife said, Pilate, have nothing to do with this innocent man, for I have dreamt of him. We say that he never was bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was placed upon him, so that by his stripes we are healed. It never happened. We say, God, you lie. You never received the crown of thorns upon your head when you are the king of the earth. We say you never took two nails into your hands and another into your feet. It never happened. We say you did not hang on the cross for hours as fluid began to fill your lungs, making every breath more difficult than the last. God, you lie. We don't believe your record. When we reject God's son and the record of him, we call God a liar. Y'all, the reason this cross is so offensive to mankind, it's so offensive to mankind because when you have to put yourself in front of that cross, it's going to remind mankind, it's going to remind you that, hey, someone actually died for you to be here. That's why it's so offensive. And God in his sovereignty, he made it to be a very gruesome death. Because it's supposed to remind us it's our sins that put him on that cross. And people don't want to come to that cross, they don't want to look upon it, because if they look upon it, that means they got to look at themselves. They got to look at their own sin. That's why they don't come. When God is the same man, come, man. I died for you because of that sin. But when you reject me, that cup that Jesus Christ took, that cup that Jesus Christ took for you, let me show you what happens when you say no to Christ. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided on him. When you say no, when you refuse the payment that was done for you, instead of him being able to take that cup, which he already done it for you already, all you got to do is come to him. But when you reject it, that very cup that he took, you will take. And by that is the cup of being sent to hell, when God had already made a way for you. He already did something for you so that you wouldn't have to go there. When we call him a liar, y'all, If you have a child, you raise that child, you feed that child, you protect that child, you provide for that child, because that child can't do for himself right now. And that child get older, and then the child get into like the teenage years, and they begin to smell themselves. They think they know more than the parent. Now the parent has done all these things all of their life, keeping them. And then they got the nerve to turn their nose up at their parent. Go against their parent. That's us. When we refuse the Son, we think we know more than God. We think that we know better, that there's no hell and there's no heaven. We just evaporate whenever we die. We think we know. We don't know. But he gave us something so that we can know. There are only two choices in life: to have the Son or to not have the Son of God. Do you know how expensive you are? Do you know how much you cost? You know how much you cost him? You know your sin. You know what he brought you out of. You know that your mind is wicked. We are all sinners. We all messed up. We all were shaped in iniquity. You know your mama throw. You know your daddy throw. They made you. You throw too. That sin get passed down, man. That's how we got to come to Christ, man. Now, this is the thing with the Hebrews. Us. And I thought like this too. And a brother had a conversation with me, and he brought it back to my memory, how we think in BC. And we may still think like that. We think that, see, us black folk, we know God is real. You're not going to find too many black atheists. There's going to be a couple of them, maybe. But the majority of them, we know God is real. Our mamas and our papas told us about God. But they ain't taught us how to follow him. They ain't taught us about Jesus. They ain't taught us about the cross. So we know of God. And when we think that we just going to just do us, we're going to rock our Jesus piece. We're going to rock our tattoos with the praying hand. We're going to put Jesus hanging in our rearview mirror. We're going to put only God can judge me. Yeah, God could judge you. That's my time, huh? Yeah, God will judge you. But the Hebrew thinks that we're just going to just do us. And then when we get up there, we're going to just have a plea deal. We don't want to accept the plea deal now, but we think when we get up there, we're going to be able to take it then. But once we get up there, the verdict is given. When you close these eyes, the verdict is handed out. How can I say that? The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus died, was in paradise in the bosom of Abraham. When the rich man died, he closed his eyes, opened them up, in Sheol, the verdict was given. Instead of us wanting to take that plea deal now, take it now. See, understand this, y'all. Your life is the courtroom. Everything that goes on in your life, that's all being presented before the judge. All right? Everything that you ever said, done, thought, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's all being presented in that courtroom. And you have a lawyer. Yeah. Jesus is your lawyer. And a person dies and a person walk in and their whole life is a case. Exhibits are being put up. And in all those exhibits, the judge is waiting to see the exhibit of the cross in your life, where you accepted his son Jesus. The lawyer Jesus is going through it, all the presentations. He sees the cross so he can approach the bench. And he can say, judge, that one right there, I died for that one right there. She accepted me 2010. He accepted me in 2012. He accepted me in 2013. He accepted the offer. But then there's another one that comes through. All the evidence is being presented, no cross. No accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Judge, I did die for him. But he never accepted it. The verdict is given. Guilty. Hell. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. If you don't have the Son tonight, you can get the Son tonight. You can get the Son tonight. If you want the Son tonight, you just stand up. If you know you got the Son, and you just want to make your salvation sure, you can stand up too. Y'all, Psalm 103 verse 10 says, he had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But he did deal with somebody. He dealt with his own son for your iniquities, not his. He was sinless. Y'all, we're going to pray. And man, this prayer, man, in 2010, I said this prayer. It's not the prayer itself. It's the heart that you understand that you are a sinner. That you know that you ain't done the right thing. And you believe that what God said about his son, Jesus Christ, that he is God, he died for you. And you also believe and you could confess out of your mouth that he is Lord and that he's coming back and you are saved. Let's bow our heads, pray. Repeat after me. Father, thank you for loving me in spite of me. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross, rising on the third day. And we confess out of our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we believe that you are coming back real soon. Change my heart. Holy Spirit, rest inside of me. Renew my mind. Help me to be a better person. Help me to walk in the Spirit. And God, forgive all of my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got the